you ever wondered what goes on behind the scenes at your favorite theme parks? Well, you're about to find out. So pull the harness all the way over your shoulders till it reaches your lap. Keep arms and legs inside the train at all times. And hold on, because it's time for the Theme Park Legends Podcast with your host, Steve Honeycutt.
Ahoy there, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Theme Park Legends, the show that takes you behind the magic of your favorite theme parks through the power of the words from the people who work there. I'm your host, Steve Honeycutt. On today's episode, Dane Ortega takes us behind the scenes of the alleged happiest place on Earth, Disneyland. I met Dane while working on the Netflix reality show 100 Humans. He just had the theme park stink just wafting off of him. So I went over and started up a conversation, then convinced him to give me a ride home. Dane worked in both attractions and food service, and he tells us how terrifying the ride It's a Small World is after hours. He also answers the age-old question, which is better, the bread bowls in Disneyland or the ones in San Francisco? I'm dying to know the answer. So let's go to my interview with Dane Ortega. Ladies and gentlemen, with me today, all the way from Fullerton, California, is Dane Ortega. Dane, how's it going today?
What's up, my man? It's been a really long time since I last saw you.
Yes, it has been a while. I mean, at least we get to check in on each other digitally through the gram, as they call it.
That's what they call it, yeah.
Word on the street is that you worked at a theme park.
I did.
Which theme park did you work for and what'd you do?
I worked for the Mouse, Disneyland. I spent almost a year working in attractions.
Do you remember the first theme park you ever visited as a guest?
It had to have been Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it specifically, but I was born in the Philippines and I moved here when I was two, but my parents took me there, so they did take me there. I just remember going to Disneyland a lot as a kid.
When you look back on it, like what sticks out in your mind the most?
For Disneyland, it was a huge affair for my family. Mm-hmm. You have a Filipino wife, so you understand.
Absolutely.
The concept. Yeah, so we would bring food, we would pack everything, mm-hmm. and we would spend like the entire day there, which now I look back, I'm like, how do people do that?
Do you remember any, like what your first ride was you got on, or at least the first ride you can remember getting on?
I do remember not being tall enough to get on Splash Mountain.
Oh,
that's too bad. Yeah, that's. But then I remember when I was tall enough and just how much fun that was.
How did you go about working at Disney? Like, how did you find out about the job to begin with?
A little background. I went to a school with, there's only 160 of us in mm-hmm. our class. Is that small? Would that be considered small to you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know that was like pretty much of a private. So none of us really knew what the outside world was. But we had this girl named Janae who on senior year, she got a job at Disney and then she was partying and she was getting to know all these people. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, I want to get a job at Disney. So the summer after high school, I applied.
And how did you find, like, did you go online? Did you see a flyer or this girl just told you when you showed up and applied in person?
So back in the day, Disney was so, I hear it's really hard to apply for Disney these days, but it was, you just walk in, you apply, you take a test.
Do you remember what kind of the questions they asked you and the personality? That sounds like you're entering a cult. It's like being interviewed to be a Scientologist.
I mean, mind you, this was my first job I've ever applied for.
Uh-huh. And like what year? Do you remember what year it was?
This was in 2006. Mm-hmm. Jeez, that's like 14 years ago. It's just the same. It's the same questions that they would ask you in any kind of job interview. But because it's Disney, of course, it's everything that Disney does for some reason, it's like times four. Right, so that was like 80 questions on that test to make sure that they understood your personality. Right. So just questions like, am I the kind of person that would do this? Am I the kind of person? And they would repeat themselves to make sure you're not lying, I guess, you know?
Like, were you nervous going through the test or were you just like, I got this. You're not going to fool me, Disney.
Thinking about it, I was probably pretty nervous because I tend to get nervous. But so people in high school would always tell me that I was made to work at Disney.
Did you take that as a compliment?
Dude, I was in the closet at the time. So that was really hard for me. So I was like, what does that mean? So that's my advice. If anyone's applying to Disney, like, make sure you've gotten that squared out.
It's good advice. Good advice indeed. So you made your way through this personality test. And how much longer did it take before you found out that you got the job?
Okay, so literally that day, after you take the test, they tell you that you're moving on to the next. And then they ask you which department you want to work in. Mm-hmm. And I told them I want to work attractions.
Why attractions?
I have no idea why I did. It just seemed cool. Mm-hmm. I know my friend Janae worked at Foods and she had to work long, long hours. And I didn't want to do that.
Right. But why not like mascot work or, you know, the characters in the park? Like that wasn't appealing to you?
I have a bitter resentment against entertainment because I am 5'4", 5'5". I am in that zone that has no costumes.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, that answers that question. How did you find out that information? Did one of your friends tell you?
Because I did apply. And then they told me, oh, I'm sorry, you're in the no costume zone.
Oh, so how did you feel about hearing that information?
It's the same way that I can't be Peter Pan. Mm. Like, I am actually Peter Pan's height, but
right,
I can't change my skin color.
Well, hey there. Things are changing.
I mean, now they can, I'm sure.
I think Disney does need to make a Pinoy Peter Pan. It only makes sense.
Can we do it while I still look a little bit young?
You know, when you wish upon a star, right?
Hey, it could be your son playing it. So
yeah, that's very true. So you chose attractions and they just said yes. And then what was what were you hoping for? Was there a specific ride or something?
I was hoping for Space Mountain, but then I was given two options. There were two openings, which was Indiana Jones and It's a Small World. Mm-hmm. And I was deathly afraid of the snake. Indy snake. Uh-huh. So I was just like, okay, I don't know. I told them I was good with kids. So then they're like, hey, cool. It's a small world. It's going to be great for you. I that's my biggest regret for sure.
Why?
Because Indy, now looking back at it, Indy's so cool. And at the time when you're in the closet, working in Fantasyland is not a place for you to be working at. They called Fantasyland F-Land for a reason. I'm not going to go in. Yeah, that's really? What they were. I didn't say that.
That's interesting because I've never heard that before. So you get It's a Small World. And what kind of training did you have to go through?
So we go through the Disney University, which is, I forget what it's called now. You might want to refresh my memory. Everyone goes through that. Imagination.
No, it's...
I know you know it.
Traditions. That's it.
Traditions. You got it. Yeah. That's what it is.
How many did you have to go through?
Three sessions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's when they really pound in that Disney magic into your brain to make sure that, you know, you don't step out of line.
I always call that it's right before the Great Divide happens, where everybody's friends and you don't realize that your friends with the person you're vibing with that meeting is actually an entertainer, that you're never going to see them again.
Well, there were no entertainers in my group.
No.
Yeah. Like I was the only one. But I don't know. It's weird. It's hard to vibe with anyone when you're pushing 34 and they're all 18 or 19.
How did you get through traditions? I know that. Never mind.
How did I get through it without losing my brain or without coming off as a creeper? Is that what you're implying?
No, I could imagine like Mickey coming out at the last day. I don't know how that would make you feel.
Actually, I mean, when Mickey showed up, it was kind of, I mean, because I, you know, I have a deep-seated respect for mascot work. So that was cool. Okay. I mean, but I was still pretty jaded through the whole thing. I was like, like, what am I doing here? I vowed never to work at a theme park again. So you went through the three lucky number three for you, traditions. Yeah. And once you get through that, like, what'd they do? Take you to straight to It's a Small World and like sort of just run you through what you need to do.
Yeah. After that, after Mickey gave us our passes, our ID cards, so then they schedule you for training. I remember my first training was opening. It's very early in the morning. And I got scheduled with this. It was supposed to be all a new hire training. Unfortunately, the person called out. So I was scheduled with myself and another person, her friend that she was training, which a little uncomfortable because she was just like rushing through it with me.
What was your first day like live in front of guests? Like,
I'm pretty sure I was nervous, but they were small world. Really all the interactions that I would have with guests would be grouping them, putting them lines 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then being on top of that tower. Welcome back. It's a small, like, welcome aboard. It's a small world. For your safety and security, please keep your hands and feet inside the boat at all times. Enjoy your cruise around the world.
Oh, so you had to say that over and over again.
Yes.
All day.
Yes.
And, like, I guess back when you were doing your interview, did they ask if you had any problems speaking in public or anything like that?
I'm pretty sure they've asked, or they can gauge that on your interview.
Right.
Because I know. Yeah. My friend who I applied with wanted to do attractions, but they didn't offer her attractions at the time.
Ah, I see. Oh, yeah. Those crafty Disney Imagineers.
I know. I want to know what is the metric they're using.
So when you first started, did you like enjoy the job? What were your thoughts about it?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. I just always felt like I chose the worst ride. It was the least, like, in terms of how you can move on to other rides too, that was literally, if you work at It's a Small World, you can only work there for a while. Like, if you work the Fantasyland rides, like Peter Pan, Snow White, you keep rotating around all those rides. So it was a bit annoying that you were just stuck there.
So why were you stuck there? Why couldn't they move you to other stuff?
That's how, at the time, working at Small World worked.
Oh, so you just had to do the same thing day in and day out?
So you would just go to, you would start from greeter, you would greet people, and then you would go down to grouping people, and then you would be on the tower, and then you would switch to the other tower, and then the other gate.
Wow, the way you describe it sounds awful.
Now that I think about it, but like, I mean, I'll give props to Disney. Disney does know how. Out of all the organizations I've worked for, they do know how to make a machine in terms of working people.
Right. I thought you were talking about the ride itself. Did it ever break down while you were working there?
Oh, okay. So during the holidays, well, now have you heard that Small World has changed their rides or their boats? To accommodate.
No, I got to be honest. I don't think I've ever been on It's a Small World. Mostly just because I never even went to a Disney park until I was like 14. And by then I was already kind of over it. I like the, exciting stuff that they have in Florida. And then when I went to Disneyland when I was 30, I mean, I was like, man, this park's boring.
That's what I hear.
Please enlighten me about all these changes.
You know, as America's population became heavier, they had to accommodate the boats. So they had to make it larger. And the reason why I bring this up was, so I was during the holidays, It's a Small World turns into It's a Small World Christmas, which, geez, like everybody floods that ride.
Sure.
And so when I was grouping, I was under a lot of pressure. Just they wanted you to make sure all the groups were backed up. So first group is ready, then you group another boat, and then you group a third boat. And of course I was like young and anxious, and math is not even my strong suit. I probably would suck at this today.
Right. Me too.
Yeah. So grouping would be like, all right, so I'd ask you, how many is in your party? And you would tell me.
40.
It's fucked. You just gave me anxiety thinking about that right now, how I do that. Yeah. So sometimes there'd be groups like 17, 13, 14, 15. And then you're just like trying to figure it all out. And then everything got messy. And I just remember at this point, I was just like letting boats go without knowing, but you're supposed to be grouping them accordingly. And Disney will never say this, but they do say in training that you have to group them and make sure that the boat is equal in weight.
Oh, really?
Otherwise, it's going to sink.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, have you ever seen it happen?
And that's exactly what this, where the story leads, is everything just got shuffled.
Uh-huh.
And then I just remember a boat very slowly moving. And I was like, that's funny. I've never seen a boat move that slowly before. And then my friend that's right with me was like, oh, that's going to sink, dude. That's going to sink, dude. I'm just like,
wait, that calmly?
Yeah.
Dude, bro. It's gonna sink, bruh. Just watch.
you know how Disney is. Like, how everyone. It's just like it's pretty much a normal routine. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, 30 minutes later, we hear ding,
right.
And so basically, the whole entire ride has to stop. Everybody has to go in and evacuate everybody off the rides, and it's just causes a whole ordeal.
Now, was this your fault per se, or just people not listening to you? What, whose fault was this?
You know, they can never really like pin it down because,
right,
like it's not my fault that I don't know. I would say I don't know who I don't know whose fault it was, because that I probably shouldn't have been putting that. I don't know. I don't know how to, like, I'm just describing the person, but someone who was pretty more on the obese side in the middle, like I should have been flopping it. But So yes, in a simple answer, yes, it was my fault, but they cannot ever say that that was your fault.
Right. Well, I mean, I would say that it's their fault for not having better boats.
mean, exactly. Well, now they have it.
Like, I mean, the park has been around for so long. You think one of those fancy pants Imagineers would be like, you know, we need to get these boats with the weight a little more, I don't know, spread out or something, like, so they don't sink. Like, almost seems like a safety hazard, but wow, that's so, all right. So you had to evacuate all the people, and like, what is that after it's done? Like, what is it like with you and your like coworkers? Was that guy who was like, dude, it's going to sink, was he like, dang, this is your fault? And you're like, no, it's not my fault. Like, what was it like?
Of course, you're like panicked. You're like, how am I going to explain this? But you just basically, after everyone goes in, I mean, honestly, if I was on Small World, I would like die for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That changes routine. You get to go into action. You get to like get into the ride and evacuate people.
Mm-hmm.
People enjoy that stuff. But for me, yeah, I just explained that I got overwhelmed. Everything was, I was just getting overwhelmed pretty much.
Follow-up question here. Okay, so you have to tell these people like where to sit on the ride.
Right.
Were they always like cool with it? Did you have to deal with a lot of...
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm sure it's gotten worse over time, but like, can I sit in the front? Can I sit in the front? I'm like, dude, all right, just wait. Most of the time they were pretty cool with it though, but couples want to sit with couples, but sure, on their own. But I'm just like, dude, everybody paid the same. And you know what everyone's excuse at Disney is when they can't get their way.
I paid X amount of money to whatever.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's a classic theme park excuse in general. Wow. So that's a pretty awesome story. Do you have any other interesting anecdotes of working at It's a Small World?
I don't think people realize how scary working at It's a Small World is. When you close the ride, you have to go in there by yourself and you have to find the last boat.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to tie that last, and you have to funnel all the boats into this creepy, like little, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like a dog alley?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, a cove. And then the music stops.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, you just hear, I don't know if you can hear that, but it's just like clapping of mechanical dolls.
Uh-huh.
The dolls don't stop. I don't know why the dolls don't stop. The music stops, the lights are there, but the dolls keep moving.
Yeah.
And so you're walking.
That does sound creepy. Yeah, it's Disneyland at dark is kind of creepy. Like I went there. Oh, well, do you have another story you wanted to, like, I mean, I was just going to say, like, for my parade training, they could only do the training at night. And like, it's just, I mean, I don't know. It's the fact that the music is still playing, yet no one is there. And I mean, for me, I wasn't even used to Disneyland at that point. So I didn't even know my way around. So it really, all these shadows are cast, and it's just like this weird city with no people. And now it's all dark and stuff. And like, you don't know if someone's coming to get you or not, or, you know, maybe you'll accidentally stumble upon Walt Disney's frozen corpse and then you'll never escape. Yeah. And, but anyway, that's just my imagination running wild. But yeah,
I resonate with you.
That sounds pretty creepy indeed. Do guests come up to you and are like, "Oh, It's a Small World is my favorite ride"?
This lady from Japan had visited It's a Small World 15 years ago, and that was her favorite ride. She came during the time when we're refurbishing it. So it was closed. So she came from all the way from Japan, and the cast worker that I was working with at the time was very much into Disney. Mm-hmm. Like, would just do the spiels. And so the girl from Japan, you know what I'm talking about. So the girl from Japan was like, "I don't understand. Why is the ride closed?" And then she would just like, "I'm sorry, the dolls went on vacation." Like, she just kept saying that. I was like, yeah, poor lady. But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, that was probably the only time that was someone's favorite ride. Mm-hmm. And on Tuesday mornings, I wonder if that guy still goes there. There's this boy with autism, and he got a free ride around. He probably rode that ride 8 times a day. We just let him go because no one goes.
Yeah, we had a few people like that at Universal Orlando. This, you know, your daily visitors. Like there was a guy with like, I don't know if it was a Mad Hatter hat or if it was a Cat in the Hat hat. But he would always come up and give Shrek and Donkey these coloring book pictures that he colored. And like the guy was like, I don't know, 30 or something. But yeah. And then there was a few other people that would just stop by and you're like, "Oh, look, it's, oh, what's his name? How you doing? Good to see you again." Like, I don't know. It's one of those, like, I would say it's almost comforting because it's just like a routine like that you're used to, like this.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as they're not too creepy, of course.
Right. The diehard crazies were just cool.
Exactly. How long were you working at It's a Small World?
Less than a year.
Were you looking at it as, hey, this is just be a summer job, or, you know, maybe it could be something more?
Yeah, I was. Well, I was at community college planning to transfer within 2 years. So it was just my weekend 2-year job at the time.
Just a job. Gotcha. How did things end for you at It's a Small World / Disneyland Part 1?
I just took advantage of the fact, not took advantage, youth is wasted on the young, as they say. You know, I just, my friends came and then there was a rave. Mm-hmm. Disney has rave days, but there was a rave and I didn't have that time off and I wanted to go. So I just stopped going.
Wow. So you didn't even give it 2 weeks or anything?
Yeah. No, I mean, Disney's really good at finding coverage for things like that. Yeah.
I'm not worried about them. Like, I'm not chastising you. I mean, hey, you're 18. If you don't want to work at Disney, you don't have to.
Yeah.
And so you didn't feel bad about it or anything? You didn't like wake up after your rave like, "Oh my gosh, I made a mistake"? Like, how did you feel afterward?
Of course. I mean, yeah, no, I was like young. I didn't care I didn't realize that, oh shoot, you've been used to having an income. Now you're not going to have an income. You know?
So after that, you just, I don't know. Did you get a regular job or just not work for a while and only go to school?
No, I did. Like in between my stint from Attractions to Foods, I worked as a doctor's assistant. That's not a job for me either.
That sounds a lot more lucrative than working at Disney. now you're not working at Disney. How long before you went back begging for them to take you back?
Literally 6 months. Just really? the period that was necessary for you to not be able
that's
to.
It. Yeah, that's the zone. And were you like counting the days? Were you like, oh man, I can't wait to get back in the warm embrace of Mickey, Minnie, and Goofy?
I was just begging Mickey to take me back after I left him for another man. No.
You were just like, great, it's another job.
Yeah, I was hoping that they would take me back. I was like, looking back at it now, I'm just like, wow. I never hire anyone who just left without a 2 weeks notice.
Yeah, but they took you back anyway. And so, I mean, was it basically just a replay of last time? You just showed up and filled out some paperwork. They didn't make you do the personality test again, did they?
Oh, dude, I can't remember. Yeah. I think maybe if you're doing a rehire, it's probably different. They already know where you worked at before. Right. I worked long enough where, did you have points in entertainment? Where
you got to have those points. Yeah.
But when I got rehired, I still had points from my last time I was working. That's how short it was.
All right. So, I mean, did they give you the option to pick where to work this time, or how did that go down?
This time they only said you can't work at attractions because you're a restricted hire.
Right.
Which means you left without good terms.
Yeah. And so you chose the restaurant thing?
I chose the restaurants. I don't know. Yeah. I chose the restaurants. I was located or put into New Orleans, the foods area there.
Okay. Like in the actual restaurant that they have there? Like the fancy one?
Clam chowder. No. I wish I would have gotten that one. They aren't hiring for that. But clam chowder bowls, have you ever had those over there?
I mean, I've had one in San Francisco, but not at Disney. But I imagine it's the same thing.
This one's really good for some reason. I don't know what they put in there, but it's pretty good.
Yep. Disney magic, I bet.
Yeah.
So was the training any different this time? I mean, I guess you had to go through some restaurant stuff.
Yeah, this time around it was a lot more fun because we were all new hires, so we were all having fun. Mm-hmm. Training was the same. You know how it is, the protocol. The first day is this, and then they teach you how to do cashiering. I guess that day our trainee was late, or our trainer was late. Mm-hmm. She had crashed her car because there was a spider that crawled down on her.
Dang. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, she was okay, right?
Yeah, she was okay, but then we just kept calling her Spider Girl after that. and then we didn't realize that she was like really sensitive. So she told on us to the managers, and the manager called us on the first day and told us that we were bullying and harassing our trainer.
That sounds very Disney, for sure.
And God forbid, I didn't even have long hair then. But
what was your first day like working at the clam chowder bowls?
I the only thing I can remember is it's two levels, so everything that you have to everything that is on what you see in the store, you have to bring it up from downstairs. Mm-hmm. So take elevators up. So you're always taking anything. I just remember being like super hungry all the time because that food was just like right there.
Right. And I mean, if you had a break, like you could eat some, right?
Are you kidding?
Are you saying you can't? All right. So even
you're talking about Disney, right?
Well, I mean, hey, I never worked in Disney foods. All right. So even at the end of the night when they've got could you buy it at least at a discounted price and consume it?
At a discounted price. Yeah. The 25% annual pass disc or whatever it is that we got as a employee. But I don't know what Disney's problem was. Starbucks wasn't like that, but Disney would throw away everything.
Wow. And they wouldn't let you
tons and tons of bread.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised to be honest, but that's a shame. So you never got to eat it for free. Well, that's a shame. I mean, did you sneak any?
Well, I mean, you know, once you get to know people, you can figure out systems. So yeah, of course.
There we go. That's what we want. That's the kind of dirt we like on Theme Park Legends. Yeah. So what did you think about working here versus It's a Small World?
You definitely see a caste system at Disney with how they treat people, which is like entertainers. You guys are treated very well. That's the top 1% of Disneyland.
Well, it depends on which entertainers you are. But yeah, I suppose maybe. And then food service, what comes in the middle somewhere?
I think foods was pretty much on the bottom.
Even below the janitors.
Dude, those jobs were pretty fun. You just go around sweeping things all day. You know, like anything you want. Yeah.
Any unruly customers step out in your mind, or any stories at all?
I don't know. This is not a PG version, but I did have one of my first interactions with another man at Disneyland in the storage room in the break room.
And I mean, was it a surprise for you at that point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was still not completely accepting who I was at the moment, so I wouldn't really pick up vibes, but.
Right.
I guess at that time I was like pretty curious. So I had my first kiss in Tomorrowland where I was being a guest right in the, I don't know, like a break room, not a break room, but a storage room in Tomorrowland.
Storage room. Nice.
With the lead. Yeah.
So, I mean, you look back on those as good memories, right? For the most part.
Yeah, of course. I look back at it, but now I'm like, wow, that's...
At least it was Disney and not a Burger King bathroom, right?
Yeah. Like, every time I go to Disney and I look at that Tomorrowland queue, wherever that place was, I am reminded of one of my first few interactions.
How did things end for you in food service?
Well, for that ride, I had to go to school. I left to San Francisco.
Right.
That's pretty much how it ended there.
So piggybacking on what I was talking about earlier, did you actually get to taste test the bread bowl clam chowder in San Francisco versus the one at Disneyland? Did you?
Yes.
And you think that the one in Disney is better?
I will go down. I will like die on my grave saying that Disneyland clam chowder in New Orleans has the best clam chowder ever.
Wow. Yeah. I'll have to check that out someday if I ever get back there. So did you at least give it 2 weeks this time?
I probably didn't. And I still have I still have 6 costumes, which makes me unhireable.
Well, let's talk about that. What did you have to wear?
Oh my God. For a small world? I had to wear a straw hat. That was really uncomfortable.
I imagine that's pretty hot. Oh, was the ride air conditioned?
Inside, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well,
that's for sure, cool. Inside the ride. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's good for the guests.
And so what are some other stuff you had to wear?
We had to wear this world vest. I don't know what it was about that, the laundry that they use, but it just made my skin like really itch. I don't know how it was for costuming, but there was a detergent that they used that just made it really like starchy.
You know, there's a lot of sort of legends / rumors concerning the costuming in Disney. Like there's a book called Cast Member Confidential, and there was, I guess they used for the mascots, I guess they used to assign people their own underwear. And I'll just let you use your imagination on what happened and why they don't do that anymore. And I mean, this is from the book. I don't know if the book is actually like confirmed or whatever, but it's just something I've heard. So at least you didn't have to wear someone else's underwear and, you know, get a certain disease. But
okay, I definitely can't complain about that. So. That's the truth.
Right. So things ended for you at Disneyland. Like, do you look back on it and like, oh man, I I wish I still worked there. Like, how do you feel about it at this point in your life?
Honestly, if I can go back, I'd just say have a little bit more fun, enjoy. I would never want to go back there, but
right,
like don't get so scared of when they tell you to cut your hair, when they tell you to do that. It's just a job. I would have more fun. I would enjoy it more.
I don't know. I don't think they like the workers having fun, Dane.
No, that's right. What I'm saying.
All right. I've got a story for you, Dane. If you're, I think I've said it on other episodes, but whatever. There was one time I think I got called in and I forgot to shave. And again, I'm a mascot, but they still require you to shave for whatever reason. And I honestly forgot. I showed up like ready to work. And we had gone through our meeting and even our warm up. And then some guy said, "You need to go shave." Not some guy, some manager said, "You need to go shave." And this is like with X amount of time left to like lift off. So basically, long story short, it was more important for me to shave and not have the parade start on time. So basically because of my shaving, they were, I don't know, a few minutes late, like starting the parade because that was more important. I mean, give me a point afterwards, but the show must go on, you know?
Like, right. Yes. I mean, what's wrong with them?
Just little nitpicky stuff like that kind of just blew my mind. And I mean, and as I told you before, I was pretty over it at that point anyway. I mean, I still did my job, like tried my best when I had that stupid suit on. But when stuff like that happened, I was just like, what's wrong with this company?
Yeah, no, I'm like, did they make you shave with a actual thing that they got from the machine, which actually cuts you and everything? I remember that happened.
I don't walk around with I worked like one day a week, Dane, if that. Like, so I mean, you know, I'm not like, I mean, I guess there were other dudes who showed up and maybe, you know, carried razors around with them just in case. So yeah, they gave me some random disposable razor. Who knows where they found it? And they were like, go take care of it. And so I did. So that was your time at Disneyland.
Yes, it was my time.
All right. So let's get into some fun theme park questions. What's your favorite theme park to go to as a guest?
I guess this just shows you how crazy Disney has their magic over you. I still have fun going to Disneyland.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
Six Flags is great too.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say you've at least been to some other parks, right?
I've been to Six Flags. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Are you a Knott's Berry Farm guy?
Dude, not like I was telling you before, there's nothing sadder than like an empty park to me.
Oh, I when I went to Knott's, there were plenty of people there.
There were?
Yeah, well, it was the Halloween event.
Knott's Scary Farm.
Yeah, and I loved it. I don't know. Knott's is my kind of place because they have a lot of roller coasters, and I like roller coasters. Which leads me to my next question. What is your favorite ride of all time?
X in Six Flags.
Oh, right. That's a coaster also, right?
Right. Yeah. That's like this free fall where it feels like you're skydiving and it's just, it's insane. Yeah. I love X.
And I think I went on that one. I went on so many. I can't even keep them all straight. Let's see. Do you think, given the proper circumstances, do you think you would ever work at a theme park again?
Oh man, I mean, I don't know. No,
like what if you were offered like an entertainment role of some, what if they, because you're a host, right? Like what if they were we want you to host our like special events, would you do it?
Look, the only time I would ever consider going back to Disney is if they decided to color up Peter Pan and age him a little bit and have him come back. That's like a lifelong dream that I don't even know could ever exist.
What are you up to these days? Is there anything you'd like to promote?
Well, yeah, I mean, because like I went to you first when I started started my own podcast, the Papillon Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can check that out if anyone's interested in that.
Tell everybody all about it.
Yeah, it's a Papillon Podcast. We just like talking the things that people have overcome and basically journeys. We're a journey, very journey-oriented podcast. So if you want to check that out, check it out on Instagram, Papillon Podcast.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Dane, thank you so much for sharing your story here on Theme Park Legends.
Thank you for having me on here. This is my first podcast. Thanks.
Big thanks to Dane for taking the time to talk to us about his journey. If we learned anything from Dane, it's that even if you don't give it 2 weeks, Disney will still take you back. Well, at least back then they would. Who knows what kind of terrible things they would do to you now for not giving it 2 weeks. They'd probably kidnap you and make you star in a mediocre live-action remake of one of their classic films. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. If you dig what we do here, then please tell your friends. And if you've ever worked in a theme park, dinner theater, cruise ship, or even the county fair, I'd love to have you on this show. And don't forget to join me next time as I continue to unearth even more
Theme Park Legends.
Thanks for listening to the Theme Park Legends podcast. Make sure you retrieve all belongings while exiting the car. Should you forget anything or have any questions or comments, make sure you reach out to us on social media. And remember, have a legendary day.